Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'm gonna
tell you what. Fourth quarter of the program begins right now, people. Get out of your seats. Get that arm in the air. Extend those four fingers. Let them know you're finishing this effort today strong. It's what we do here in the program. It's how we do things.
Yep.
Because
it's how we roll.
Because we've seen it on TV and we think it's cool. So
how we roll.
Why not? Why not do it that way, right?
Yes. The whole point of our lives has been, I wish I played in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So why not?
Pretty much. Isn't that the deal? Our Need to Know brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson. I-29 just south of the airport. Beautiful new 2023 Harley-Davidsons are arriving all the time. Get up there and check it out. Whether it's a new Harley, a pre-owned Harley, they've got the best selection in Kansas City. Plus everything that goes on that Harley goes on you when you go on that Harley. I'm talking about apparel, clothes, parts, everything. They're the best in Kansas City. Your family, the moment you walk in the door, you'll notice the difference. Just walk right in. They're absolutely fantastic, and it is a great time to be looking for holiday gifts for the Harley rider on your list. It's Worth Harley-Davidson, I-29 just south of the airport.
And having been the younger brother of two Harley owners when I was younger, man, do they like the Harley-Davidson shirts, the swag for Christmas gifts. If you're looking about Christmas, it is... You'll make someone very, very happy.
Always a great, great idea to go grab some gear. And they got great gear. I got so much stuff.
It's even better if you live out of town. If you live out of town, bikers from out of town, they love to get stuff from Harley places in other cities.
Yeah.
Because whenever I'd go somewhere, Gary'd say, bring me back a Harley shirt. Bring me back a Harley shirt. New York, San Francisco, wherever it was, bring me back a Harley shirt.
There's a reason why they come from miles around to shop at Worth. Worth Harley-Davidson, I-29, just south of the airport. Let's start with some Chiefs talk. Let's remind you, first of all, of Justin Reed's comments. This is what Justin Reed said to Todd Lebo Wednesday in the locker room.
They have 88, Higbee. No, it's not Higbee, was it the Rams? What's his name? It's Higbee and Higgins. They're going to have him back. He's a very talented receiver, too. More of a finesse type of guy. Not the best blocker. I'm going to lock him down. You know what I mean? Straight up.
He means Hayden Hurst.
Yeah.
Is who we all settled in on, right? That's
I think so, yeah.
That's who he meant was Hayden Hurst. And so he made that comment, you know, and you're like, okay, man, here we go. You know, I just want to double check. Hayden Hurst is number 88, so that's who he was talking about.
Yeah, he wouldn't be locking up T. Higgins. If he got the number wrong, he'd be one thing.
But as a safety, he clearly means that. That's what he said. That made the waves big time out in Cincinnati. Andy Reid was asked about what he thought of Justin Reed's comments.
Yeah, I'm not real big on that. He's new to our team, so he's aware of it now, for sure. He wasn't before.
Anything else?
Thank goodness it's not password, right? I mean, we're going to go play the game.
I don't even get the password thing. Because he got the name wrong and he was password. Like, what is he...
Or if it was you know, talking when you're not supposed to. I didn't quite get that, but I did when he said he understands it now if he didn't before.
I think it was pretty clear what he was getting at there.
That was very curt.
The other thing that came up this week in the Kelsey to Kelsey podcast.
New Heights.
Thanks.
That's what it's called?
Because they're from New Heights.
Oh, that's right.
Cleveland Heights, Ohio.
you know, they talked about basically that Matt Nagy gave plays to Patrick Mahomes during his interview when they were looking at drafting him. Andy Reid was asked if he'd heard the story and what he thought.
Seriously? Geez, I didn't know that.
Does this mean you want to do the draft open?
Man, would have never taken him.
That's my first thought was that's a relaxed, confident coach right there. Feeling good enough about his team to kind of take part in that. And that was the first thing that was asked of Andy Reid today. That was before. Now, his mindset and his delivery, a stark contrast to his comments on his reaction to Justin Reed's comments. But is Andy Reid, is he going in this game thinking, I'm feeling pretty good about this. I think he might be expecting some good things on Sunday. Most of the coaching staff, the thing you've heard of, they've got that part figured out.
Yeah.
That essentially the two games last year were, one was they got destroyed on the downfield passing game. The other one was we just did things we don't normally do.
Yeah.
I think the game they have to fix is the first one, not the second one. I think they'll fix just by being with who they generally are.
Have to fix themselves.
Yeah.
And if they fix themselves, they'll win the game.
I think that's how they feel.
I think they're right.
It's a confident team.
Trent McDuffie goes a long way towards fixing some of the problems. Getting another top 15 corner on your defense always helps. They're going to try to shut down Ja'Marr Chase. McDuffie was asked what he thinks about Chase.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, he's a ball player. Everybody around the league, especially us, know that he's one of those guys that's going to go attack the ball and make plays. So it's just our responsibility to try to make plays on the ball.
When you're going up against a receiver like that, though, if you are locked up against him, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that you need to be aware of when he kind of gets off the line of scrimmage and his speed, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, he's a very physical receiver, which you don't always get a lot of the time. So I think a big thing is just getting your hands on him, disrupting the route, timing of the route. And, you know, he's a jump ball guy, one of those go-to guys. So just making sure every single down that you're on him, just know that the ball will come your way.
Trent, you like embrace the fact that you get to face these number one, number two receivers, even though it's still your rookie year. How much are you embracing that as the season's up?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's one of the big reasons why I wanted to come to the NFL, to compete with the best. So any opportunity I get to go out there and play the top of the top, it's always an exciting thing for me, and I look forward to it every single time.
Corner is a lot like running back, not necessarily in the importance. It's more important than running back, generally speaking, and harder to find the guys that can play at a really high level. Mm-hmm. But you're good early. First contract is the best contract. The first contract will be the best years of a corner almost across the board. They're not good at 31, 32, 33 years old anymore. Daryl Greens don't exist. And so I know it's early, but some idea that it's going to take 2 or 3 years for him to get up to speed, no. And it hasn't. He's playing at a high level right away, and that is big, although there's talk of him also now returning punts. He was asked about the possibility of being asked to head back there on special teams.
Told him knows that whenever he needs me, I'm going to be back there, just making sure I take it upon myself to be ready just in case they need me to go out there and give the ball back to the offense. I think that's the biggest thing punt returners can do is make sure to catch the ball and make something happen if they can, but most importantly, as a defender, we want to get off the field, so just making sure we give it back to the offense.
You had, I believe, 9 punt returns in college, right?
Yeah.
How much did you embrace that role?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been doing punt return all the way back since high school, so it's more of a comfortable thing for me back there. You know, I don't really stress too much about it, but just making sure I'd be able to do my job and just catch the ball again, like I said, I think that's the biggest thing for me. And I think during practice, I think coach is giving me a lot of reps to be able to go back there and just get back into the rhythm of things. So I'm ready if he needs me.
How much have you tried to, like, teach Scott because he had never done it before?
I mean, sure. Way back in training camp, I was already trying to give him tips and stuff. But it's tough back there being a punt returner with these great punters out here and how high the kick goes and just reading everything. So for somebody new back there, it can be tough. But I think he's done a good job at just consistently going out there and trying to attack it and just keep getting better.
I don't. So, you know, that's why you're going back there. But I expect the guy to stick up for his teammates. That's what you do. Man, I like McDuffie. I like him a lot, and I'm glad he's on this football team. Let's talk to Kevin Harlan. I like him a lot, too. He's next.
Kevin Harlan is presented by Metcalf CarStar. If your vehicle gets sacked on the road, take it to Metcalf CarStar, the collision repair experts. They make it convenient and easy to get back on the road. Go to CarStar.com and search Metcalf CarStar. CarStar. Relax. They'll take it from here.
He calls the NBA.
Game! Series!
The NFL.
He digs. He turns. He dives. It is a touchdown!
March Madness.
And that is the dagger.
And even this.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. The guy is drunk.
I'm getting confused. What game are you calling?
I'm calling both games.
I'm going to jog Kevin Guy.
Somebody stop
that
man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
He's the voice of America, Kevin Harlan.
Welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. We talked to the voice of America. You heard it from CBS. TNT, Westwood One. Always a great way to finish up the week strong with our man, Kevin Harlan. Kevin, how are you, sir?
My friend Saran, hi. How are you? How was your Thanksgiving? Was it good?
It was very good. We had a lot of family over, and so had a great weekend. Took a couple days off last week, so made for, you know, got to go to the movies with the kids and everything. So yes,
good.
Yeah. Good times. Good you. Times were had by you. All. Nice. No doubt. Nice. No doubt. How about yourself? Did you manage to wedge in some time with the family in your busy schedule?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've got it. I've got my deal. I don't, of course, at Turner, at TNT, we used to do Thanksgiving games on Thursday night. And the last one I did was with Steve Kerr about 15, 16, 17 years ago. And we vowed to each other as we're walking into the arena, and then again as we're leaving the arena doing a game, we will never work on Thanksgiving again. And so Turner actually has decided not to broadcast against the NFL, which is why. So they've ditched the Thanksgiving game, which they used to do all the time. And so I don't have to work on Thanksgivings anymore. The NFL, I get off with Westwood on Thursday of night. So that works out really well. So I am home and enjoy it. And we as well. I had a lot of family, kids, grandkids, mom and dad. It was terrific.
You bring up an excellent point, because, you know, Thursday night, there used to be no NFL game. Lamar Hunt was actually one of the ones that was very instrumental in saying, hey, it shouldn't just be these two teams that get to play on Thanksgiving. Let's add a third game and give everybody a chance to have that. He was very much a proponent. He thought that would be a great thing. They got it. So now they have the night game, in some ways, maybe ran the NBA off that time slot you're just talking about. And this year they're going to be playing on Christmas Day, right? Isn't the NFL going to go head up, which had kind of become the NBA's
it
thing?
It is.
Is the NBA not happy about this?
Well, I don't know how they can be. This is a day that the NBA has always had Christmas Day. They have kind of stockpiled their best teams and best games for that day. And for a lot of people, they begin to follow the NBA on Christmas Day. And I can't tell how many players I've worked with, former coaches I've worked with that are now in the broadcast booth, that say, when we were kids, we used to get around the TV and watch. Now, I don't remember that much NBA on Christmas Day, quite frankly, but they do. And that was kind of, I think, kind of an unwritten rule, but it does fall on a Sunday. As you know, I believe the great majority of NFL games are on Christmas Eve day. That's like when Trent and I will work. I don't know where we're going to be, but we'll work that day and then get home on Christmas Eve. But then the NFL has got, is it my three games? Am I correct on that, Surin? Three games on Christmas Day. It's loaded. It's loaded. And that is right up against the NBA. And I don't, nothing beats the NFL. I hate to say it. The ratings for the NBA games on Christmas Day were always terrific. They're always good because it was one game after. It was like four or five games, boom, 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 right in a row. With the NFL in there, it's going to muddy the water a little bit. And so I don't know how the NBA could be happy that the NFL put three, I think at least two.
It is three. No, you're right. Noon, okay. Packers at the one thing that maybe the NBA has going for it is maybe the games aren't the best. Packers at Dolphins is early, 3:30. Broncos at Rams, 2-3-8 teams. What are 3-8 teams right now? And then Bucks at Cardinals. The Bucks are holding down first place in a terrible division. But, there's one team with a winning record. The Dolphins. So that's maybe the only thing the NBA's got going for it is that those games don't appear to be as strong. But yeah, you're right. They're going at them with three games.
And that's going to be, I think, kind of an interesting thing for these media writers to look at and start weighing the bite into the NBA number or the bite into the NFL number, whichever way you go. And, there was even some talk about the NFL thinking about going with Black Friday games beginning next year, I think on Amazon, which would tie it into their whole, culture, the Amazon culture of, shop, you do your Christmas shopping on Black Friday the day after Thanksgiving. Well, that day has always been, there have been some big college games that college football has said, we'll take this day. We know everybody is still basically home and on vacation, not going to work on Friday of Thanksgiving week. And we're going to use that. But the NFL is going to dig into that as well. So you're talking about Lamar Hunt, who said, you know, let's expand, let's look at night games, let's do all these different things, which has been great. But I don't know if, you know, the great thing about the NFL is it built its roots and its foundation on Sunday afternoon games. And then we got used to the Monday game they added. And now that's kind of become part of the foundation of the NFL. All these games on Sunday, you have the Monday night game. Then they added the Sunday night game. Then they added late in the season some Saturday games. And now they're stretching, as we know, into Thursdays. And it looks like Friday is going to be a game, too. I don't know if those Christmas games can be moved. There's a lot of flexing going on. Chiefs were just flexed out of a Sunday night game, I believe. And I don't know if those Christmas day games are untouchable or if those can be moved as well. I'm not sure on that. But nonetheless, even if it's bad teams, history shows you that even a so-so matchup in the NFL still usually rules the ratings world.
Yeah, and it is amazing how it does just dominate that landscape. We're talking to Kevin Harlan here in the program. Kevin, the Chiefs have got a big one with the Cincinnati Bengals. Did you call the AFC Championship game last year for Westwood One or for CBS?
In Kansas City. Yeah, no, I did the NFC Championship Rams and Niners.
Okay. Yeah. You know, do you believe that teams that, you know, I've used this phrase a number of times this week, but styles make fights, that maybe the Bengals are just a bad style matchup for the Chiefs? Or do you think that it was just the Bengals got them a couple of times, but there's no, you know, magic formula that the Bengals possess that other teams don't? Because certainly Cincinnati fans are chirping a little bit about owning Patrick Mahomes.
Sure. And you know, that's one of the great things about rivalries. And this has got a game featuring two young quarterbacks, and this is going to be a matchup between those two for years to come. And Burrow's not going away, and certainly Patrick is not going away. So, and now, you know, Cincinnati won in Arrowhead, which very few people picked them to do. And I don't think there was a bit of pressure on the Bengals whatsoever. Chiefs have been down that road, as we know, multiple times recently, and that caught a lot of people by surprise. I think that loss, maybe more than any, really has fueled what we're seeing this year by the Chiefs. I think they'll be on top of their game in Cincinnati and play very, very well. But the Bengals, you know, they made it, and they gave the Rams all they could handle in the Super Bowl. And so they were legit, and I think they're legit now. They're just, as we know, they're getting some traction, right? They began the season kind of unevenly, but they're right around 500. Now they're tied with Baltimore in first place in the North. They've been winning some games. Quarterback is looking more like he was. But here's the thing on Cincinnati and why you should not be probably confused about what they did early and what they're doing now. If you recall, Joe Burrow had an appendix operation. He had appendicitis, and it was bad. I mean, like, it had exploded, and it wasn't, I don't think they operated for a couple of days. And if anyone's had that happen to them, including yours truly, you know, that's a serious operation. He lost like 15 to 20 pounds, and he has admitted, I was not myself for the first month of the season. And if you look at the record, it kind of reflects that. As he has gained his weight back, as he has gained his body back, the team has been far more what they were like last year than what they were showing early this season. And my guess is the Bengals are playing their best football this season right now. And I think they've got some injuries. I think Mixon is injured, if I'm not mistaken. So they're going with Samaje Perine at running back. Chase didn't play last week. I'm not sure if he's going to play this week. He's a big part of their offense. But Cincinnati is every bit as good as they were last year. I think they've strengthened their offensive line. They feel they have. It's a solid team, and they are no pushover. And it's a terrific matchup of what we saw last year in the AFC Championship at Arrowhead.
Yeah, and I do think you know, that the Chiefs are better this year than they were last year. I know that, you know, a lot of people on the outside to be like, well, you lost Tyreek Hill, how can you be better? Well, I mean, you know, all you got to do is look at the numbers. Statistically, they're as good or better offensively. But I think they've got more of a punch in the ground game now with Isaiah Pacheco. And I think defensively, they're a lot better. I know when you look at their overall numbers, they're starting to get better, particularly with playing a backup quarterback with the Rams. That helped boost their overall numbers. But even the yards per play, which I think is one of the best indicators, because if you're a team that's offense goes up and down the field, you know, you're going to get more possessions to the other team, so they're going to have more opportunities to gain yards. And we see that with the Chiefs against Arizona in the opener, against the Bucs, with some like, oh, by the way, numbers and stats and scores. But the yards per play, the Chiefs are up to like number 11 in the NFL. And they've got some lesser opponents left on their schedule. And so I think that those numbers are going to look even better. I think Chris Jones is playing better than he ever has. I think Cullen, the defensive line coach that they added, who used to be with the Ravens, has been a huge addition, because they already have 35 sacks this year. They had 31 last year. And as we know, they did not get Joe Burrow down, and that was a problem. And Chris Jones talks about the sack where he had him in his grasp, and then he ended up throwing a touchdown. And, you know, how much that hurt. He said that at the end of last year. He said it at the beginning of this year. He brought it up, and he has played like a man on a mission. And when you can pressure the quarterback, that makes everything else a lot easier on the defensive side. I think they're better, and definitively better. Do you agree that the Chiefs are better this year than last year?
I think mentally they're better. I think on the field they're better. Let me ask you a quick question here, because I don't have it in front of me. Pacheco, when did he, you mentioned that great yards per play number that's rising and has been.
Or the defense, the defensive yards allowed per play is getting better.
Yards allowed per play. Yes. But when did Pacheco begin to stick his foot in the ground and really make a move at that running back position? I just think that this offense has never run any better when they had a threat running the ball. And Edwards-Helaire, who's injured, am I correct on that?
Yes.
He's out. So he's gone. Yep. So he's out on IR. And so Pacheco's had to stand up and run. This offense has always been better when they've had a threat in the backfield and a hard runner. It just has kind of been the missing piece, but it's one of the hard things to find when you've got so many weapons and so many different ways that Mahomes can, and you'd be a fool not to utilize his great arm. But this, you go back to that Super Bowl winning season, you know, they had the run game with Williams, and it just, late in the season in particular, and that just made such a difference when you've got that threat. And maybe Pacheco is that guy, you know, but maybe this is something up to go. All that being said, they are better. I think mentally they're better. The quarterback is on a mission. I clearly believe that he is on a mission, and the team just seems overall, not that they were lacking focus last year, didn't have the mental side with them last year. It just, you know, seasons are different, years are different, and being the target every week and going into the playoffs every year, it's exhausting. I mean, it's a long season.
Yeah.
But I think they were energized by last year, and I think they're showing it this year.
Last three games, and Pacheco may have gone as the starter against San Francisco. He had 8 carries for 43 yards in that game. But really, the last three games, they've made a concentrated effort. He's averaged 4.9 yards a carry. 16,
that's excellent.
Yeah, 16 for 82 against Jacksonville, 15 for 107 at the Chargers, 22 for 69, and they just sledgehammered him at the end of the game. In fact, I thought they used him too much. They just gave him the ball every time throughout the fourth quarter. And it was kind of after the Patrick Mahomes no-look interception that they're kind of like, okay, forget this. Let's get out of here. Let's run the clock. But it was just him, and they had activated Ronald Jones. And I was kind of curious as to why they didn't give him a little more work. You know, he hadn't, knocked some rust off. Now that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is hurt, and I've had some people who don't think he's going to be back this year at all. And so if Ronald Jones is going to be your guy, Let's knock the rust off him. And if Isaiah Pacheco is your leader, let's protect him, right? Let's not have him. If he's going to be your lead back, pound away. But that's not how they chose to play it. They chose to hammer away with him against the Rams. And, you know, they got the win. So who am I to question, you know, the great Andy Reid as to how he wants to use those players? But can we question the great Bill Belichick? We saw him yesterday on Thursday Night Football, and frankly, they didn't look very good, to be honest with you. And I'm curious, if when you look at, and I used to say this a lot, I said, we'll see if Bill Belichick coaches after Tom Brady, we're going to find out what he really is. Because the narrative when Tom Brady's there is that, like, well, the Browns, he was just finding himself as a coach and figuring it out. But he had to figure it out when he got to New England, and now he's the greatest coach ever. I said, okay, let's see what happens without Tom Brady. Without Tom Brady, Bill Belichick has coached for seasons that he went into, Five seasons in Cleveland, one with the Patriots, really two with the Patriots, back during the Tom Brady era, because there was a year before he took over. And then there was the 11-5 year under Matt Cassel, really went 10-5 with Matt Cassel as a starter. And then these 3 years at the end, you know, in all those years, there's two playoff years, one playoff win, two playoff losses, and records of 6-10, 7-9, 7-9, 11-5, 5-11, 5-11. I mentioned the 10-5 with Cassel, 7-9, 10-7, and he's 6-6 right now. You know, I said if he wanted to be known as the greatest coach of all time, he would have retired when Tom Brady left. He's trending a little more Chuck Knoll right now, isn't he? That after the championship crew was done, Chuck Knoll never could refine that magic, and it's kind of looking that way for Bill Belichick, isn't it?
Well, every great coach, and we can start rattling them off, you know, Shula had Don Greasy, Shula had Dan Marino, and Vince Lombardi had Bart Starr. Hank Stram had Lenny Dawson. I think, and when Knoll was winning, he had Jerry Bradshaw. All of those quarterbacks were Hall of Fame caliber or right on the edge of it. And that's why I think everyone would agree. Yeah, you know, but what Belichick did, which was so great to sustain it, is even when the quarterback may have been off, and Brady had very few off years in New England, the complementary football that was played, the parts around him, whether it was a running game to make the passing better, whether it was getting Randy Moss for a couple years, utilizing Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez when Hernandez was alive and still playing. You can go right on down the list of things that Belichick did, and that really was kind of his genius, is that the sustained success is just incomparable. I mean, clearly, Tom Landry had Staubach, and all the great coaches have always had a quarterback. I don't know that the quarterback has been great because of the coach, but I think the coach has clearly been great because of the quarterback. But it's finding the quarterback and then putting him in a system and then surrounding it. So there are the other layers. But clearly, I mean, to start a car, you need a key. And if you don't have the key, you can't start the car. But if you don't have, you have the key and you get the car, but you got to have the tires. You need these associated parts. But it always begins with the quarterback. Every great head coach knows that. Every great coach has had a great quarterback. But it's what you put around him. And we've seen some coaches who were good, who had great quarterbacks, who could do nothing with it. And quite frankly, like Green Bay has had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for 20-plus years combined. They've only been to 3 Super Bowls, which is stunning to me. So I'm not saying they were bad coaching. I'm just saying that, yes, you need the quarterback, and that has got to be the fixture. Rarely do you see a Super Bowl champion, a sustained, successful team that does not have some kind of quarterback of incredible reputation. And we've seen the Trent Dilfer year, and we may have seen the Kerry Collins year with the Giants. I mean, go on and on and see different quarterbacks, but usually the quarterback has been at the top of his game, and then really how you're beginning to grade it, can you have sustained it? Now, here are the Rams, the defending champions, and they've lost a couple players. The quarterback is out, and the team is below 500. So, I mean, you need the quarterback. I get it. Andy Reid and this team, nothing against Chad Henne or any other quarterback you got in there, if it's not Patrick Mahomes,
right,
is this team as good as it's been the last 5 years? No, they're not. But then you've got, here's Russell Wilson in Denver, Hall of Fame credentials, many people say, young first-year head coach, and the team around him is injured, and even with a great quarterback, they can't do it. It's got to be, it can't be just one and the other. I don't think a great quarterback can overcome bad coaching and a bad team. I don't think a great coach can overcome a bad quarterback and a so-so team. That's why you can, off the top of your head, begin to rattle off head coach, quarterback, and then usually the head coach has got that great quarterback surrounded with the parts they need in the style they can operate in, that's going to make sense. I have nothing in front of me. I guess I could look and say, oh yeah, this year, that year, but sustained success, that is Belichick's hallmark. And you're right. I mean, since he's not had Brady, He has been a 500 or below coach, and there's no getting around it. And when you're good that long, and Carl Peterson always said this, when you're good a long time, you know, you don't get drafting position that can bring in a generational player. You don't get, unless you're trading up like the Chiefs did to get the Mahomes. You're not getting that. Every year you're drafting in the 20s, or you're out of it because you traded your first round pick, like the Rams have done. So, you know, I don't know, Saran. There are a couple ways to look at that. I don't disagree at all with you. And on the surface, yeah, it would look that way. And they are developing a young quarterback in New England. I'm not sure if he's the guy, but if it were Brady there, I quite frankly, my feeling is I've done a couple of pages. We just did one the other day with the Jets in New England and the Patriots won. If Brady were on that team as it is constructed right now with their running game, they would be a double digit winner right now.
Yeah.
I believe that they, Brady would have been worth 4, 5, 6 wins. I believe it. And that's nothing against the guy they got now, but Brady is the greatest player of all time. And with what Belichick has done, but the quarterbacking has not been quite up to par. And finally, as we know, the margin between a 10-win team and a 10-loss team is much thinner than you think. It is not that great a difference. It is a quarterback making a couple third downs. And those are the difference makers in a game and a record.
Yeah, I always said, you know, in the 16 game era, I'll have to figure out where I'm going to quantify it now. But from 10-6 to 6-10 is just a wash. There's no difference between those teams. One of them was healthy. One of them, the schedule smiled on them. For the most part, that's the league just propping you back up based upon the easier schedule and everything that goes with that. You know, but to once you get to 12 wins, that's truly elite. And when you get down to 4 losses, you suck. Right there, there's no defending those. But that 6-10 and 10-6 is where most of the league is, and it's kind of the wash area where it is. A lot of it is just, you know, when you played somebody, how healthy you were, all those things that go into it. And Belichick's looking like a coach that is in the wash without it. And that's where I think, you know, Andy Reid, I'm not saying, you know, I mean, you could make a case, I guess, for him being the greatest coach of all time. It wouldn't get very far with most people, but win a couple more championships. And then people were going to talk about, yeah, and when he didn't have Patrick Mahomes, he went to a Super Bowl. He won this many conference championships. He played in this many conference championship games. I mean, then everything that was held against him as the guy who couldn't win the big one becomes the validation for why he's the best, right? I just love how that changes.
I think he is, right now, one of the best. His record would tell you that. His championships and his Super Bowl appearances with two different teams would tell you that. Let me ask you this, and you and I are on the same page, and we are now too. We're just a couple guys talking. But if his offense is not being used, if his creativeness, him and Bieniemy, if he's got Joe Schmo and Jack Schmo, who are the two play callers, and the head coach, is Mahomes as great as he is with what he's doing? And is his offense as good as it's been and sustained success that it has enjoyed without Reed? I mean, I just don't know how you can have the quarterback and not the coach. I'm not even have the coach and not the quarterback, as we've talked about. But if you got the great quarterback and you don't have the coach in the system, I think they're married. I think it's if you look at any dynasty, whether it's the Cowboys or the San Francisco 49ers with Montana and then Young, and really the only, quite frankly, the only one, the outlier, is Green Bay with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks back-to-back, which never happened. Happened in San Francisco. Sure, it's happened other places. Just off the top of my head, I can't think. But we know in San Francisco it happened, and they went to Super Bowls, and they won. And both quarterbacks did it. In Green Bay, they've had Rodgers and they've had Favre, and that's been over 2 decades back to back since 92. And what are we now? 2022. So we're talking a long time. We're talking a long 30 plus. They've been to 3 Super Bowls, yet they've had 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks back to back. So that really is, I'm sure I'm missing something. The only example I can think of with an organization that's had 2 great quarterbacks and they've had so few Super Bowl appearances. Whereas, you know, Reed, when he's had the quarterback, has been able to thrive and make appearances, you know, with Philly and now with Kansas City twice, and looking like they're going to their third year with this group. That's pretty impressive. I with sustained success, you've got to have both. And I just don't know where you can, you know, I don't know. It's that's a great conversation to have, though, for sure.
Yeah.
I personally think Belichick, I think whenever he's had that guy, and again, they're reloading on the move here. And they made the playoffs last year. Remember that? They were, I think, what, 10-7
yep.
last year. They made the playoffs in Brady being gone. And the year before that where they had Cam Newton, right? And that was not good. But they made the playoffs last year with a rookie quarterback. And they are in the hunt now. And I don't know that the team is all that good, but I think they're good enough that if Brady were there, I think they would be a 9-10 win team. I really do. I think they'd be that's in with one loss. So let me backtrack. They would be a 7-8 or 9 win team for sure with Brady.
Yeah,
I really believe that.
The thing that I think kind of has me scratching my head, and I know every coaches have their sons on their staff all over the place. Andy Reid had Britt Reid here on his staff, but he's got two sons. And then Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator. And I'm going to tell you where I think he's like, why I think he's slipping is because the shenanigans about calling him special assistant to the head coach and offensive line coach. But then Patricia's clearly calling plays. Like, it's like you're wasting time on things that don't matter. Just call him the offensive coordinator. Like, just that whole like need to not have a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator. I don't understand what those shenanigans are about. And then the idea to think that you can take a guy who's never been an offensive coordinator in the NFL, who in fact has been a defensive coordinator, make him your offensive coordinator and think that's going to work. Their offense was atrocious last night. It was absolutely terrible last night. I that to me is just a guy who's, you know, I call it believing your own BS, right? Once you start believing your own BS, you're done. Like, you know, you're not, what's looking back at you in the mirror is not what you're seeing. And you're going to start kidding yourself. And I don't know. I can't believe that he did that with Patricia. And it looks like it's affecting him. Let's get to our, let's get to our final four here with the great Kevin Harlan from CBS, TNT, Westwood One. Of course, our final four is brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Give the gift of health this holiday season. That's right. New clients save 25% on sports performance classes and personal training packages at the Sports Medicine and Performance Center. It's right there at 125th and Antioch. You can also save 25% on a running gait analysis, golf fitness evaluation, and much, much more. Incredible facility. Check it out. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsperformance. Kevin, I start you with this. Did you carve the turkey?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. My wife makes me carve it every Thanksgiving, and I enjoy it. So yes, I did carve the turkey.
You're a good man. I'm not allowed anywhere near it. So good for you. I'm proud of you. The AFC's number one seed will be who?
Oh, I think the Chiefs. I know Buffalo looked great last night, and I was going to say, when you're talking about the Patriots and how bad their offense looked, that defense had a lot to do with it. That Buffalo True. Defense, even without Von Miller, they're good, man. And they may have hit a little bit of a trough, and they lost Miller, and they've had some injuries in the secondary. They did get White back the other day, which was good on Thanksgiving. But they won two games in Detroit, and then they win last night. Buffalo is there. I still like the Chiefs. I have, as you've watched them, Chiefs have, you know, Edwards-Helaire being out with the injury, that's a little bit concerning. Maybe Pacheco does fit in. I'll stick with the Chiefs as the number one seed in the AFC.
All right. What color lights on the Christmas tree?
We have white. We have white lights. We have got so many ornaments that the kids have done since they were little kids.
Right.
It's weighted down. So we've got so many handmade things and little things we bought over the years. There's enough color with all that stuff that we just do white lights.
I like it. I like it. That's classy. Classy is what it is. Hallmark card-ish. I like it. Does Odell Beckham Jr. have another 1,000-yard season left in his career?
I was on with the Dallas station the other day, and they're excited about maybe him going there. I think, you know, he is less than a year from blowing out that knee, and this is his second ACL, and he's also gotten older, and he hasn't played a whole bunch because of injuries in Cleveland, and he gets the injury. He's had no offseason, and he's rehabbing. He's a great talent, but he's not the Giants' Odell Beckham. And if you're thinking you're getting mad, I don't know. And he's a big personality. I know. I had nothing against him. I loved him when he played. He was an acrobat. Had he not been injured, this guy would have been setting records. And he did, actually, his first 3 years in the league. Like, his numbers as an early receiver in pro football were enormous and historic. But he's not the same guy. He is a complimentary guy who's coming off his second ACL. He's gained, age. You know, Father Time has continued to tick, and he's not played a lot of football. So I don't know what you're going to get. And then he is a presence in that locker room. Do you want a presence? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying he's a big presence. And do you want that now coming in, infiltrating your team that you've been holding together, and what chemistry you've developed? If you're a good team, do you want all that at this stage of the season? December football is the most important football. December football is the most important. And that's why every move has got to be really scrutinized. And Dallas is playing well. They're in a tough division. It's dog eat dog. I just don't know where he fits, but they may be looking for help. They probably are. Every team would need help at any time of the year. If they feel he fits a niche, I say go for it. But I don't think he's got 1,000 yards in him. No, absolutely not.
It's like you said, it's like the great philosopher Norm Peterson said many years ago, it's a dog eat dog world, and I'm wearing the milk bone underwear. You know, that's just something to live by there.
I remember that episode. Oh, what a great line. What a way to send people into the weekend. Way to go, Saran. Nice job.
You're the man. You always send us off with a smile. You're the best, Kevin. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Oh, have a wonderful weekend. All right, Trent, take care. Bye-bye.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
Kansas City Barbecue Burns, end of the hour answer. One man has played at least 50 games for both the Chiefs and Bengals. Who is he?
I couldn't get this one.
One of the favorite players of one Nate Bucati, Wallace Gilberry.
Oh,
the traveling Gilberry. 53 for the Chiefs, 67 for the Bengals.
Wow, Wallace Gilberry. That's fantastic. Not quite as fantastic as Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Get it tonight, joeskc.com. Order it right now. You can use the app on your phone. They're fantastic for pickup. And, of course, always a great game day spread as well. If you want it for the Chiefs, order it Saturday night. They'll be happy to make it up for you. Of course, send that barbecue anywhere in the country, coast to coast. It's joeskc.com. It's the ultimate gift to send a loved one. Send a friend, send a client. It's Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, joeskc.com. Tonight, as we sit here right now, marks the end of the Southwest Conference in 1995. It became no more, right? So it's been, what are we at now, 27 years?
Mm-hmm.
27 years ago, it ended. We were looking at it. We were kicking this around. When we get Houston in, every one of those teams except for two will have actually been in the Big 12,
wow,
right? Only Rice and SMU have not been here. How about back then, instead of kicking out, you know, four schools, just take them all. Go to 16. You'd be where everybody is right now. Like, are we missing the obvious that, like, had they just combined the two leagues into one, that maybe we'd still have all 16 schools?
Yep.
It would be nice. It would be nice to think about it. Didn't happen, but, RIP, SWC. That'll do it for us. We'll see you Monday at 2:00.